Vermont Public, this is The Frequency. I'm Karen Anderson, filling in for Mitch Wortlieb. It's Saturday, January 25th, which means you're listening to a special weekend edition of the podcast featuring the Capitol Recap, our weekly look at the most important news from the Statehouse. Coming up, the governor this week unveiled a plan that would represent a major sea change in how education works in Vermont. We'll break it down after this. Republican Governor Phil Scott unveiled his plan to overhaul Vermont's education system earlier this week, and it would make some drastic changes to the way public schools are funded and how they're governed. Vermont Public's Capitol Bureau reporter Peter Hirschfeld sat down with our education reporter Lola Dufour to find out what's in the proposal, what it would mean for taxpayers and students, and whether it has any shot of making it through a legislature that's still controlled by Democrats.
Lola, this plan the governor put on the table this week, it represents by far the biggest changes to Vermont's education system that we've seen in decades, maybe ever. There's so many aspects to it. But let's start with the one that really seems to go against the cultural grain in Vermont. Right now, we have more than 100 school districts in the state. The governor wants to squeeze all of them into five big school districts to oversee all of the nearly 300 public schools in the state. Is this the end of local control?
It might be the end of local control as we know it. And, you know, what you're talking about is the governance piece. He is also taking aim at local control when we're talking about the funding piece. Right now, local voters decide how much their school district will spend in the upcoming year, in the spring, usually a town meeting. Scott is saying, actually, the state should decide that there should be this per pupil formula with adjustments for student need that says this is how much each district will get. And then the state should give that money to school districts.
It's not hard to imagine a scenario where a district says, look, we're going to need more money than the state is telling us we need to deliver a quality public education to our students. If they find themselves in that situation, A, are they going to be allowed to spend more money than the state says they ought to? And B, if so, where is that money going to come from?
So yes, they would be allowed to raise more money, and that money would come, it seems like, from property taxes. The state says that they want to put in, A, that money would be – you could only raise so much money, and also that they would put in some equalizing measures to make sure that, you know, very affluent areas can't easily raise a ton more cash than other places. But those details haven't come out yet and, you know, will matter a lot.
Back to the consolidation component – begs a question. If I'm now going to be in one of five districts, presumably there's going to be a lot of high schools in that district, a lot of middle schools, a lot of elementary schools. Am I, as a parent, suddenly going to get to pick and choose where my kid goes to school?
Yeah, you are getting at a really key question, but you're presumably asking about public school choice.
Yes.
So I think the thing that's actually going to really hang up lawmakers is the question of private school choice. Right now, you have certain communities in Vermont, certain districts, that offer private school choice. And, you know, the current interpretation of the law has been that if you are a district that offers choice, you have to offer it to everyone, all towns in your district. It's all or nothing. And so if we go to these much larger regional entities, what does that mean for communities that have choice? Do they have to give it up? Or do we see large-scale expansion of choice? Both of those scenarios could potentially be political non-starters.
When you and I were out on the campaign trail this last election cycle, I don't think we heard from a lot of voters talking about the ins and outs of how Vermont's education system works. Some people certainly were. By and large, though, voters were angry about these huge property tax increases that they were being forced to absorb. Does this plan deliver the tax relief that we heard so many voters clamoring for in November?
The administration is certainly arguing that it would, you know, bend the cost curve, particularly through consolidation. And that would include some schools closing and certain classes getting larger. But the administration is also saying that they think that through the system, they can direct more money to higher need communities and higher need schools. I think it's a big open question as to whether or not you can deliver on this promise of broad-based affordability at the same time as you direct more cash to certain places. And I think that that is going to be a really big sticking point. And I'm already hearing a lot of anxiety in the building, particularly from Democrats, about, you know, okay, exactly how much money are we talking about?
We're talking about policy right now. Politics is going to be a huge issue as well, right? We've got relative partisan balance in the state house now. No major legislation is getting through unless we see bipartisan consensus between Democrats and Republicans. Do you see that happening?
I mean, there are so many landmines here, right? There's the fundamental question of, okay, how much money are we going to be sending to schools under this formula? There's choice, and there's a lot of things I haven't thought of. So I don't know. But I actually think it's very possible that the breakdown that we see will be less along party lines and more along geographic lines. That's historically been the case, especially when it comes to questions of choice. So, you know, I think it's going to be a very interesting discussion and a pretty heated one.
That was Vermont Public's education reporter Lola Dufour speaking to Capital Bureau reporter Peter Hirschfeld. For more of our coverage from the State House, sign up for our weekly Capital Recap newsletter. Thanks for listening to The Frequency today. Our executive producer is Kevin Trevelyan, and our music is by Blue Dot Sessions. I'm Karen Anderson. Talk to you Monday.